In the gospel reading earlier, you heard Jesus' lament over Jerusalem. I want to add another passage from the Gospel of Luke, this time from the 19th chapter, beginning with verse 41 and continuing to verse 44. Luke 19, beginning with verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. He said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Would you pray with me? That the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as some of you know, my wife and I have chickens. Six, to be exact. And they all have names. Henrietta, Tilly, Mary, Queen of Orange, Daisy, Philly Sue, Elizabeth. We've really enjoyed getting their fresh eggs, but I think we've enjoyed even more observing their behavior in the chicken coop and in the yard when Connie lets them out. There is, of course, the pecking order. And poor Tilly, she suffers more than any of the rest of them. There's the feeding frenzy of all of the pests and insects that they go after when they're set free to roam in the yard or in the garden. There's the funny waddle of the group when Connie shakes the can of mealworms and calls out to them, "Treat, treat, come get it," and they all follow her like the Pied Piper. They're all getting older now, and we're not getting as many eggs as we used to. And there are no young chicks, no little chicks around, so we really haven't had the privilege of observing firsthand what a mother hen does with her chicks. We did, however, catch a glimpse of it a couple of years back when we were visiting my brother-in-law in Drexel. He and I were walking around his yard admiring the landscape job that we had done a couple of years ago when his oldest daughter, Livia, came running from the backyard with a look of sheer terror on her face, tears streaming down her cheeks, screaming to the top of her lungs. We did not know what had happened, something terrible to be sure. Chip held her and he said to her, "Livia, what's wrong? Why are you crying?" And when she finally composed her enough to say something, she said, "The hen, that mean old hen." And my brother-in-law began to put together what had happened, that apparently Lydia had ventured too closely to a neighbor's mother hen and her chicks. The hen apparently had seen Livia as a threat, and in an effort to protect her little chicks, she had fluffed up her feathers and spread out her wings and moved aggressively in the direction of Livia, almost as if to attack her. It nearly scared that little girl to death. Clearly, you don't want to mess with a mother hen when she's trying to protect her little chicks. It's interesting that Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, used the image of the hen and her chicks to describe the relationship that he had with his people and his beloved Jerusalem, choking back tears Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you, how I long to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." It was a lament of one whose love had been scorned, whose protection had been rejected. From whom was Jesus trying to protect his people? Gospel writer Luke says it was a fox. Not a literal fox, but one who was like a fox, King Herod. The Pharisees had come to Jesus and had warned him that he needed to leave that place, that Herod was out to get him. King Herod is the epitome of the biblical villain. He was a political pawn in the hands of the Roman government, just clever enough to be dangerous and foolish enough to be manipulated by others. Herod's only tools were intimidation and violence, which made him like the fox circling around the hen house. Jesus was becoming increasingly a political problem for Herod, and we know what Herod did to his political adversaries and enemies. You remember that it was Herod who had John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, thrown into prison, and it was Herod who had him beheaded. You notice that Jesus was the one who called Herod a fox in response to the Pharisees' warning that he should leave that place. Jesus said to them, "You go and you tell that old fox, listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will finish my work." I love that response, don't you? It was as if Jesus was not afraid of Herod at all. In fact, it was as if Jesus were saying, "Herod will be Herod. Let Herod be who Herod will be. But I'm not worried about that. I'm more concerned about, I'm more focused on what God had sent me to do, the work that God has called me to do." To compare Herod to a fox was to paint him as sly and cunning, predatory and too risky to toy with, maybe even potentially dangerous. At the risk of his own life, Jesus had brought the kingdom of God within the reach of his beloved city of God, and the city of God was not interested. Jerusalem had better things to do than to hide under the protective wings of mother hen like Jesus. Jerusalem had a fox as its head who commanded a great deal more respect. Contrast between the two could not have been clearer. Jesus had disciples. Herod had soldiers. Jesus served. Herod ruled. Jesus prayed for forgiveness for his enemies. Herod killed his enemies. In a battle between a fox and a hen, who would you bet on? What made Jesus so sad was that they were betting on Herod's way and not his way. I don't know if you've ever thought of Christ as a mother hen, a hen who instinctively gathers her chicks under her wings and nestles them beneath her body to protect them from danger when it came. She fluffs up and sits on them to keep them warm and dry and protect it against the elements. It's a beautiful image of nurture and tenderness, of loving invitation. I don't know about you, but this idea, this image of God as a mother hen sort of makes me feel warm and fuzzy all in time. This idea of God providing a warm and soft and feathery, nurturing, motherly love. But the image that Jesus portrays is not only warm and fuzzy. It is the image of a deeper love still. After all, Jesus evokes this image of the hen in the context of his lament over Jerusalem's unwillingness to receive God's prophets and messengers and invitations. So, you know, I know that chicks have a tendency sometimes to wander off and to reject their mother's attempts to gather them in. But mother hens are always persistent, so much so that they've gotten the reputation of being overbearing and a bit fussy. Sometimes a mother hen will follow her chicks and wait for them, and when the chicks wander off, she welcomes them back extravagantly. And when faced with the threat of the fox, Christ as mother hen responds, not with fear or retaliation or hostility or violence, but with an honest lament and a faithful journey to Jerusalem and all that waited for him there. In the passage that I read a few moments ago from the 19th chapter, Luke says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, if only you had known on this day what would bring you peace, but now is hidden from your eyes. The gospel writer Matthew says, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Rejection. That's what Jesus is lamenting. He came offering peace. He came offering them a better way to live. He came offering them a new way, a sure way back into relationship with God, and they overwhelmingly rejected him. They did not understand who he was or what he had come to do. Many in the crowd thought him to be an earthly Messiah. They would have much preferred if Jesus had approached Jerusalem riding on the back of a war horse. Instead, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a lowly donkey. They would much have preferred if Jesus had gone up to the state house and fixed their political problems, but Jesus instead chose to go up to the temple to pray. They would have wanted Jesus to get organized and to mobilize his forces, to get a revolution going and to get a movement going, to set things right. But Jesus chose instead to gather in an upper room to share bread and wine with his closest followers. They would have wanted Jesus to go up head to head with the powers that be and to offer a political solution to their dilemma. But Jesus would only hang on a cross on Good Friday from noon until 3 o'clock without saying hardly a word. It wasn't that Jesus wouldn't do anything. It was that Jesus would not do what they wanted him to do. But you see, Jesus knew that his way was not the way of the world. Their way was not the way of Jesus. And Jesus understood the futility of brute force and political power. And Jesus could see that the path that they were choosing to follow would not end in a good place. As the writer Ken Geyer has said, through a mist of remorse, Jesus peered into Jerusalem's future. He could see the legions of Roman soldiers surrounding the city. Their swords are drawn. Their battering rams are positioned. Their catapults are cocked and ready to heave huge boulders at the walls, destroying their beloved temple. 1 million Jews would die in AD 70. They would crucify Jews until they ran out of timber to build crosses. And they would take 100,000 of them into captivity. The temple would be utterly destroyed. And the Jewish nation as a theocracy would cease to exist. Jesus saw all of that coming. And it broke his heart. It drove him to tears, because if could have been averted, if only the people had recognized the visitation of God in their midst, if only the people had chosen his way, the way of peace, the way of love, the way of grace. Jesus could envision all of that standing on the hillside that day, overlooking his beloved city of Jerusalem, lying in shambles because her people would continue in their hard-heartedness. because the people would cling to their religious and political and economic institutions instead of the living God. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, he said, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. I love the way preacher Barbara Brown Taylor puts it. She says, Jesus meant to protect the chicks from the foxes, but he would not become a fox himself in order to do it. He refused to fight fire with fire. When Herod and his bullies came after Jesus and his brood, he just put himself between them and the chicks, all fluffed up and hunkered down like a mother hen. It may have looked like a minor skirmish to those who were there, but that contrast between the chicken and the fox turned out to be the cosmic battle of all time, in which the power of tooth and fang was put up against the power of a mother's love for her chicks, and God bet the farm on the hen. Depending on whom you believe, she won, Taylor says. It did not look that way at first, with feathers all over the place and chicks running and scattering for cover, but as time went on, it became clear what she had done. She had refused to run from the foxes, and she had refused to become one of them. Having loved her own who were in the world, she loved them to the end. She died a mother hen. And afterwards, she came back to them with teeth marks on her body to make sure that they got the point, that the power of foxes could not kill her love for them, nor could it steal them away from her. They might have to go through the same thing that she went through in order to get past the foxes, but she would be waiting for them on the other side with love stronger than hate. What a loving mother we have in Jesus. Have we ever sung that song? Is there even a song that captures that, the essence of that message, that Jesus is for us like a mother hen, that he is the one who invites us to be held and nurtured and cared for under his wings of compassion and gentle rest. He is the one who is willing to stand between us and the ultimate enemy, the one who threatens to destroy us and annihilate us, even the power of death itself. The fangs of the evil one pierced his skin, and he suffered and died on the cross and rose again for you and for me today. That's what we celebrate every time we gather to worship. And that's what we remember and celebrate as we come to the table today. That this amazing man who loved us so much that he was willing to lay down his life for us, to allow the fangs of the evil one to penetrate his skin and to suffer and bleed and die in order that we might live. This is what we remember. This is what we celebrate. Jesus, the mother hen. Jesus, the man of sorrows. What a name for the Son of God, who came ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior.